right, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll continue looking at the Christian armor. We haven't gotten to the armor yet, but we're getting close. And tonight we're going to look at all the different titles that we read about in verse 12. And if you'll look at the first part, Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." All right, so we're going to look tonight at this organizational structure. I'll show you here in just a second how I want to approach this. And I trust it'll be an encouragement and a blessing to you. Do I have a microphone on?
I guess you don't.
Do we have a microphone?
Would you like a microphone?
Yeah, probably.
Sorry about that.
All right. What? You can hear me? All right. I'm using this. That's what they said. All right. We good? All right. But if I step away, well, you'll be able to hear me. You'll be able to hear me. I don't know about the folks on the back row, but all right. So let me put this on. So I'm going to approach it a little in my introduction to show you how I want to deal with this tonight. And so let's pray, and then we'll dig right in, all right? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have now to open your eternal word, and I pray that you will bless us this evening. Thank you so much for what we have learned thus far about this battle that we are constantly engaged with. And Father, I pray that you will give us now a good understanding tonight of how all this breaks down. And Father, give us ammunition so that we can better fight and understand and fight against the wiles of the devil. So bless. We need your hand of blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you will remember, I have taught you several times through the years that everything God has, the devil has a counterfeit. All right, everything God offers, Satan has a counterfeit that he offers. And there are so many different areas. For example, God has his church, and Satan has his church, his churches. They don't believe the Bible. We do, but they don't. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. We do, but they don't. We believe in the virgin birth and the resurrection, but they don't. They don't. You say, well, Pastor, what in the world do these churches preach if they don't believe in the fundamentals? Well, heresy. That's what they believe. They believe the devil's wily lies. All right? I've said to you over and over, not everything that glitters is gold. All right? Just because it has the word church in it, that does not mean that it is blessed and ordained by God. So we need to understand these things. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm just trying to show you how things are. Another example, God has his Bible, and then Satan has his Bible. Plural. All right? As of right now, there's about 450, probably closer to 500 now, different versions, or I guess I should say perversions, of the Bible. Now you imagine that. For example, there is a gay and lesbian Bible. Yeah, a gay and lesbian Bible. Can you imagine that? There is the Now Bible, N-O-W, and that's a National Organization of Women. All right, and it's presented from the standpoint of feminism, and God is a she. All right, God's a she, and then there's the gender neutral. It just goes on and on and on, folks, on and on and on. And in every one of these, they're doing things with the Bible. For example, they take out the deity of Christ. You can't take the deity of Christ out of the Bible and still have a Bible. You just can't do it. And so God has his Bible, and of course, Satan has his Bibles. And I say that one with a small b. God has his preachers, and then Satan has his preachers. And God provided man with a wonderful salvation that we receive by grace through faith. And then Satan offers men a salvation that he accomplishes through good works and through outward efforts. Works. All right? So you got faith, grace by faith, or you have works. And so much of quote unquote religion today is nothing more than man's effort to get to heaven. And that battle has been going on for the longest time. So folks, please understand that the devil is very smart, all right? He is very wily. He is very able to take truth and to twist it and turn it so that truth becomes a falsehood. And it's easily done, and the devil is good at doing that. Now, hold your place here for just a moment and go over to 1 John back towards the book of the Revelation, toward the back of your Bible, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. And look at chapter 5 for just a moment. All right, 1 John and chapter 5. Now I want you to look down, please, to verse, look down to verse 7. Verse 7 says that there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Very good. Now watch. And there are three that bear record or bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, that's the Word, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Now, what did we just learn here about verse 7? We learned that God is a triune God. He is three persons, yet one God. All right? He's three persons, but he's one God. And what do we have the devil represented as in the Bible? Well, the devil is portrayed in the Bible for us as a triune devil. He is three, yet one. He is Satan, an imitation of the Father, of God the Father. And then he is the Antichrist, who is yet to be revealed, but he will be when the Lord Jesus comes back to take us home to be with him in heaven. All right, so you've got God the Father, and you got Jesus the Son, you got God the Holy Spirit. So these three are one. Satan comes along and imitates that. And so it's Satan the Father, the Antichrist, who is going to be the false Messiah. The false Messiah. He will say that he is the Messiah, and people will believe him. He'll be a miracle worker. And the reason he can be a miracle worker is because just as God, the Holy Spirit, comes to draw us to Christ, then the false prophet will show up during the tribulation period, and his job is going to be to point men to the false Messiah. All right, so what God the Father does, Satan imitates. What God the Son does, the Antichrist, the first beast, will imitate and claim to be the Messiah himself. And then the third person is God the Holy Spirit, and he will be imitated by the false prophet, the second beast in the book of the Revelation. And so understand, folks, that God is imitated by the devil. And that's why you just cannot believe everything that you see. You can't believe everything that you hear. You say, well, Pastor, how do I know if it's the real deal? Here's how you know. You lay the Bible down beside of it, and that's how you test it. That's how you know whether it's of God or is of the devil. I've said it to you this way. If you want to find out if a stick is crooked, then you lay a straight stick down beside of it, and you'll see right off. And that's the way it is in our world today. I'm telling you, folks, not all that glitters is gold. It's just that plain. Now, let me show you something else that the devil imitates. All right, take your Bible now and go back to the book of Colossians for just a moment. Colossians chapter 1. I had an assistant pastor down in West Virginia, and he called it Colossians. Colossians. What? He was teaching Sunday school one morning, and he said that, and I was sitting in the audience over there, and he said that Colossians, and I said, what? Like that, and everybody started dying laughing. He looked, Colossians. I said, good night. Learn the language, son. All right, but anyway, look at Colossians 1. All right, go down, please, to verse 13. All right, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God. All right, now let that sink into you. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now, God, Jesus said to the woman of Samaria, Jesus said that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, can you see a spirit? No, you can't see a spirit. No. You say, well, if you can't see God, when you get to heaven, who are you going to see? The Lord Jesus, exactly right. That's who you're going to see. Can you see the Holy Spirit? No, you can't see the Holy Spirit either, because he's a spirit. And you can't see a spirit. Now, did you know that all of you possess, you have a spirit? Yeah, you do. Anybody ever seen your spirit? No. No, you've not seen your spirit because you can't see a spirit. All right, but who are we going to see? Well, we're going to see the Lord Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now watch, verse 16. It says, for by him, by the Lord Jesus, by him were, what's the next two words? All things created. All things that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be, what's the next word? Thrones. Does that ring any bells to anybody? Huh? How about Ephesians 6:12? All right. So your enemy is not flesh and blood, but it's principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, et cetera, et cetera. So here we learn that by Christ all things were created. All right, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And what's the next two words? All things. There it is again. Lest we didn't catch it the first time, he said it in verse 16. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, exactly. Isn't that awesome? Do you see that? But it doesn't end there. Watch. And by him, all things consist. In other words, he holds it all together. All right? And that's exactly what the book of Hebrews tells us as well, that by him, all things consist. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, I read that to you, and you'll notice four times the words all things is mentioned. And Paul tells us that all things were created by Christ, and he speaks of all things, both visible and invisible. Exactly. Visible and invisible, verse 16. All right, so notice here that Paul then goes on to get specific about these invisible things that the Lord created, like thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. All right, so the Lord created these things. Now, go back now to our text in chapter 6 of Ephesians and notice verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. In other words, your enemy is not a man. It's not a woman. It's not a teenager with an attitude. All right. I know you think sometimes that they're the enemy, but they're not. All right. So if men are not our enemy, who is? Well, notice, we wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places, in the heavenlies. Remember that lesson last week? In the heavenlies. Now, so this is an unseen war. This is an unseen battle. And what I want you to see from Colossians is the Lord created everything, and he created a system, an organization, so that he could operate in the seen world, but doing it through the unseen world. All right? But now here we are, and we've got the opposite side of that. And we find out that the devil has the same sort of organization. Satan's organization is similar to God's organization. Some of the same words that were describing the kingdom, that the unseen world that the Lord Jesus created in Colossians 1, are the same names for what Satan has created as an imitation for everything that God has. Now, does that make sense to you? I know it's heavy stuff, but nonetheless, we need to understand who we're fighting. Okay, and that's probably one reason I shared with you for the last 2 weeks on this, that one of the reasons that we direct our battle, our fight towards one another, is because you can't see this unseen world, but you can see the seen world. And so we fight against one another. Listen, you're wasting your energy fighting against a human being. You're wasting your, especially a brother or a sister in Christ, especially someone that you attend church with. Amen. All right? So this wording is indicating that there are organizations among the good angels of heaven, which God created. And make no mistake, angels are created beings. They were created by him, by Christ, and for him. All right? By him and for him. But what we see here in Ephesians 6 and verse 12 is Satan has seemingly organized his troops into the same basic organization that God has. So again, we go back to that truth. Everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit of it. And that is without limitation. Everything God has, Satan has a way to imitate God's structure. All right, now, does that make sense to everybody? All right, I hope I haven't created questions that I hope it's clear. All right, now, so let's look at what at what the Apostle Paul says here about this enemy and the structure. All right, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, okay? Then who do we wrestle against? Well, number one, principalities. Principalities. The first thing Paul says that we wrestle against are principalities. Now, what are principalities? Well, the principalities seem to refer to the organization of angels who rule over people and nations. That's what it seems. And I say that because of a couple of verses. Go back to the Old Testament now, to the book of Daniel, and I'll show you this out of chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. All right, everybody have it? All right, Daniel chapter 10. All right, let's begin reading in verse 10. 10:10. Sound like that pizza guy, don't it? 10:10:10. What was that? 9:9. What was that? 9:9:9. I don't know. Anyway, look at verse 10. It says, "And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood." What's the next word? "I reckon so." Huh? Yeah, remember Sunday I said that sometimes in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as well, in the Gospels, and at the resurrection, and a couple other times, when the unseen world shows up and is seen, it puts fear and trembling in the hearts of man. Yeah, because you see, it's not something you see every day, and so it makes you a little antsy, doesn't it? Yeah. What was that old song that guy did? That crazy guy, what was that country singer? He was crazy. Talking about that guy that went to the Pentecostal church meeting or whatever it was, and they handled snakes. Remember that? Ray Stevens, yeah. And he said they were on the back row, and they pulled out those rattlesnakes and copperheads and were handling them. And he said to his buddy, "Where's the back door?" And he said, "They ain't none. I've already looked." He said, "I wonder where they'd want one at." See, he was ready to go. I don't blame him. Yes, sir. Oh, if you had to handle snakes to get to heaven, I'd never make it. I'd never make it. There ain't no way I'm picking up one of those demon, devil, cursed things. All right, so all snake lovers are mad at me now. All right, send all your correspondence to Pastor Brian, all right? All right, let's go back to verse 12 of chapter 10. And he said, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. In other words, this angel tells Daniel that the first day that he prayed and asked God for an answer, for understanding, the angel said that God sent the answer. And we know that, according to Hebrews, that the angels are ministering spirits, all right? And so he sent an angel with the answer, and so he says, I am come for thy words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. So 21 days this angel was kept from bringing the answer to Daniel's prayer to him. 21 days. But, all right, now watch. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So what do we have here? Well, let's see. Look at verse 21 of this 10th chapter. It says, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your what? Prince. All right, so look at 12:1. Look at chapter 12, Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. In other words, who stands for Israel. Michael is Israel's protector. All right, and he's got his hands full now, doesn't he? It says that standeth for thy children, for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. All right, so here we have the archangels appearing to be angelic beings that have a specific responsibility of protecting the saints and protecting Israel and prospering Israel as a people, as a nation. Now here, let's talk about archangels for just a moment. The term archangel occurs only twice in the Bible. All right? Just two times in the scriptures do we find that term. It occurs in 1 Thessalonians 4, where the Lord is talking about the Holy Spirit is inspiring Paul to write about the rapture of the church. And in that verse, verse 16, Paul says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right? So that's the first time. The second time that the word archangel is used, it's used in the little book, the little one-chapter book of Jude, and verse 9. And there, the Holy Spirit led Jude to write, yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So in other words, Michael was not going to stand there and go toe-to-toe with the devil. The Lord wanted the body of Moses. You say, why did he need that? For the transfiguration, in my opinion. He had to have his body. And you remember, God was the one that buried him. All right? Only God knew where he was buried. And so the Lord said, I need the body of Moses. So Michael's not going to stand there and argue. He sent Michael because he's an archangel. He's powerful. And so he got the job done in Daniel 10, didn't he? So God sent him out, and basically Michael said, I'm not gonna mess with you. God said, the Lord said, I need the body of Moses. Get out of the way. All right, so case closed. You go stand there and argue? Not me. All right, so two times it's mentioned, and only two times. Now, let me just throw this information out there, and I want you to know that that I do not believe that what I'm about to tell you is biblically sound. All right? I'm not saying that I believe this, but I'm just saying to you what the Jewish rabbis, what a bunch of people through the centuries have had to say about archangels. All right? And I don't believe this, but here's what they say. And then I'll tell you what I believe in just a moment. All right. They say in the apocryphal book of Enoch, all right, the book of Enoch, which is a bunch of nothing. All right, it's ridiculous. But in the book of Enoch, chapter 20, verses 1-7, That book mentions six, and this is how it describes them, six angels of power. All right? Six angels of power. Now, it does not call them archangels, like God did twice. All right? Keep that in mind. God used it twice, so we know there are archangels. All right? At least two that we read about in the Bible, Michael and Gabriel. All right? Now, the names, it mentions the names, and the names are Uriel, Raphael, sounds like a painter to me, an Italian painter. All right, here you go, Raguel. That sounds like a ninja, right? And then Michael. All right, so here's where people say, oh, that's got credibility. It said Michael. Well, God sent Michael long before the book of Enoch said Michael. All right, so then number five, Zariel, Z-A-R-I-E-L. And then Gabriel, all right? So there's six. And then in the marginal notes of the book of Enoch, it identifies Remiel, R-E-M-I-E-L, as the seventh angel of power, or as they say they are, archangels. Now, In another apocryphal book, y'all know what I mean by apocrypha? All right, the apocrypha is still in the Catholic Bible. All right, it's still in, but the Book of Enoch is not in the apocrypha. It is an apocryphal book, but it's not in the apocrypha, and that is 12 books in between the Testaments, and they did not pass the muster. You know, there are certain criteria that a book has to match in order for it to be considered a biblical book. And we have the 66 biblical books in what we call the Holy Bible. All right? And the Apocrypha is not in our Bible. So if you want to read the Apocrypha, you have to go back and get like an original 1611, good luck reading it. All right, the S's are F's, and the F's are S's, and it's the Book of Genesis. Seriously, yeah, the Book of Genesis. Yeah, thank the Lord, the language is developed, right? All right, so you see what I'm saying? So these books did not meet the muster, all right? And they were left out. They were eliminated from our Bible. So there is an apocryphal book that is called Tobit, T-O-B-I-T. And in Tobit 12 and verse 15, it says, I am Raphael, one of the seven holy angels who offer up the prayers of the saints and enter in before the glory of the Holy One. All right? Now, there's no biblical proof for any of this. All right? Now, I don't know about this claim in the Apocrypha. I don't go for it, to be honest with you. But there is, in my opinion, you know, God is a God of order. All right? Numbers are crucial in the Bible. They are very important. 3 is the number of completion. All right, so you've got Father, Son, and Spirit, and these 3 are complete. They're one. All right, everybody see that? Okay, so 3 is the number of completion all throughout the Bible. 7 is the number of perfection. All right, but 3 is the number of completion. And I think it makes more sense, and I can't prove it out of the Bible, but I think it makes more sense to understand that there were 3 archangels, of which Lucifer was one. All right? And he was powerful, so powerful, 1/3 of heaven's angels were deceived and followed him in his rebellion against God. All right? You see that? So you got Gabriel, you got Michael, and Lucifer. Well, now Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. And there's no word anywhere where any other angel is considered an archangel. All right, so you got to be careful adding to the Bible where you don't have a biblical foundation to put it there. Does that make sense? All right, so Satan, you remember, I think that he was the archangel who ruled over all the angels in heaven. All right. He was the worship leader. All right. He was the, no pun intended here, but he was the choir director. Yeah. That's why listen, folks, the devil knows music frontwards, backwards. Yes, he does. All right, real quick. I'm done. I really am. I'm done. Go to Luke, Matthew, Mark, John, Romans, Acts, and Luke. All right. Luke 1. All right, look, please, if you will, at verse 18. Now, here's John the Baptist's dad. In verse 18, it says, "And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, verse 19, you with me? Luke 1, verse 19. "I am" who? "Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God." He stands in the presence of God. "And am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings." And the glad tidings was the fact that he and his wife, Elizabeth, were going to have a son. And that son turned out to be, was none other than John the Episcopalian. No, John the Baptist. All right? Making sure you're listening. "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God." Folks, that's a lofty place right there. That's a lofty place. All right, well, got to close. We'll pick it up here next week. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for instructing and guiding our hearts. We thank you, Father, for the truth of the word of God, and we can get so much understanding from just taking the time to carefully read these and dig around and in the scripture and find out their meaning. So, Father, thank you for the word and for what we're able to glean. Help us, Lord, to realize that everything that you have created, the devil has a counterfeit. He has something else to offer. But, Father, we know your way is the best way. It's the only way. It's the one way. And Father, help us to follow you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.